behalf of the family, I'd like to say thank you for your presence today in this celebration of Lynn's life. Lynn Marie Tomlinson, 58 years of age, passed away July the 16th, 2021 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Lynn was born in Manhattan, New York, New York, the daughter of Richard and Jacqueline Kellogg. She attended Hamilton Elementary in Lafayette, Louisiana, and Washington Elementary, Woodland Junior High, and Fayetteville High School in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Lynn was a baton twirler and played the flute in the band for Woodland Junior High. She attended the University of Arkansas for undergraduate studies, became an ardent Razorbacks fan for life. She loved watching and attending their games, especially in the company of her loving and devoted husband and their Razorback friends. Lynn was always strong, confident, positive, outgoing, and friendly. She was an effervescent and charismatic person who was immediately liked by others. She met each day and each person with a ready smile, her quick wit, and a loving spirit. She was loved well by those who knew her, though none more so than her family. Lynn will be deeply missed by all, but most of all by those who knew her best and loved her most, her family and friends and her loved ones. Lynn worked primarily in the mortgage industry, working as a loan closer for Associated Mortgage Corporation. She was a very dedicated professional and caring in her work, helping to improve the lives of her clients over her many years of service. To Lynn, her job was more than a paycheck. She took great pride in her work and made many close friends during her time at AMC. She dearly loved her AMC family. Lynn is preceded in death by her parents, Richard and Jacqueline Kellogg, her brothers, Doug Kellogg and Michael Kellogg. She's survived by her husband of 36 years, Gary Tomlinson, sons Adam Tomlinson, Eric Tomlinson, and wife Bailey, stepdaughter and son-in-law Sarah and John Hamilton, and grandchildren Ava and Michael. There will be a burial service at Floral Haven immediately following this service, and also a reception in the gym for family and friends. Let's bow for prayer and ask God's presence here today. Father, thank you for this life that was lived, this wife, this mother, grandmother, friend. And Lord, I know today is a difficult day for this family. But Lord, I know also, God, that you said if we had asked, your presence would be not only felt, but real in our lives today. So God, we ask that the words that are spoken are encouraging, comforting, and also, Lord, give us hope. Hope after today, hope after tomorrow, even into eternity. So, Lord, I pray that you'll guide what is said. May it bless those that hear, but also, God, I pray that it might help us to draw closer to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Sweet hour of prayer. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for coming to show your respects to our family and to my mother. I know that our family appreciates your support and you all being here. As I'm sure that many of you know, my mother was an incredibly loving woman. Her whole life was dedicated to her family. Everything she did was to guarantee that we were happy and that we had everything that we needed at all times. She loved us all so much, treating our stepsister as if she was her own daughter. She truly taught us how to love unconditionally. Growing up, she would take us to practice. We used to live in Inola, and she would drive. She worked in Tulsa. She would drive 30 minutes to work, 30 minutes back to pick my brother and myself up, drive 30 minutes back into Tulsa, oftentimes not getting home till 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. It just goes to show the dedication that she had for myself and my brother and my father. As we got older in high school, our home sort of became a haven for our many friends that would come and hang out on the porch. And Mom would come out there sometimes and sit with us, and she made sure that all of our friends felt welcomed and loved and accepted. See many of them here today. She was such a wonderful woman, and we were blessed to have her. We'll never forget the love and warmth that she brought to every moment in our lives. I love you, Mom.
Okay, bear with me. For those of you who may not know, Lynn is my stepmom. In all honesty, stepmom is a word that I have struggled with for a very long time. It just seems so inadequate and devoid of any emotion or kindness or feelings or love or warmth. Everything that Lynn is not, she is the very definition of love and kindness and warmth. To quote my dad, she's all heart. Lynn came into my life when I was little. Too little to even remember. As far as I've ever known, she's just always been there. She has loved me my whole entire life, and I have loved her my whole entire life. She accepted me as her own, and she loved me unconditionally. There was never any hesitation, never a second thought. I was her kid. There was no question about it. I cannot begin to describe what that means to me, how impactful that was on my life, to be so completely loved by somebody who didn't have to give anything to me. That just speaks to the kind of person she is. Love and acceptance is the most important lesson that she's ever taught me. I try so hard to be like her in that way, and I hope I make her proud. Lynn, there is so much about you that I will miss. I will miss your big smile, your even bigger laugh, and I will miss your sweet hugs. I love you so much, more than you could ever know.
It was a great remembrance, and thanks for sharing those words. Gary has asked for me to make the microphone available to someone who might want to say some words about Lynn that would encourage the family today. So if there's someone here, if you would just simply stand, I will make my way to you. We are broadcasting this on Facebook, and so they can't hear you without a mic. And so for those of you that don't mind being put on the spot, we'll do that. Anyone? I can see several of you thinking about it, but I need you to stand so I'll know for sure. Anyone? Okay. We're going to watch a video.
Yes. That is all I'm taking with me. So goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need. to smile. I know the feeling we're trying to forget, if only for a while. 'Cause I'll be lonely without you, and I'll need your love to see me through. But please believe me, my heart is in your hands, 'cause I'll be missing you. Babe, I love you. Babe, I love you.
Before I move on, Gary, I know you said to me you might want to say a few words. I'm not pushing you or pressuring you, but just one last chance before I move on. It's just up to you.
What can you say about Lynn? She was a free spirit. She had a loving heart. She was just a good person all the way to her core. She was the best person I ever have had the opportunity to meet, and have had the privilege to spend 40 years of my life with her, 36 in matrimony, and I'm so thankful. She was truly amazing, and she was my everything. And I'm going to miss her. I know many of you will as well. And let me tell you, if you're here today and you work with her and you knew her, she loves you. She loves you too. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Moses wrote in Psalm 90, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I pastor Woodcrest Church. I live in Woodcrest Addition. And every once in a while, I just like to get out and knock doors. And so I spent about a six-week period just pre-COVID. And I was telling the family before we entered how I met Gary. I was knocking doors in Woodcrest Addition, where I live at, and knocked on Gary's door. He was kind enough to come outside on the front porch. We visited for about 15, 20 minutes, and not realizing we would be here today, had no idea. David wrote in Psalm 139:16, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And for you and I, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. However, the God of all creation does know, because he ordained each day, the Bible says, each day of our lives. And that is why it's so important to live each day in the light of God's calling on our lives. Funerals do two things. They allow us to celebrate the life of the loved one and friend, And so we gather to grieve and mourn and to remember and to comfort each other. And second, funerals are a reminder that we're all mortal and we're destined to die. And the key for each of us is to prepare for death and to prepare to see the one, meet the one who has indeed numbered our days. And my hope and prayer is that every person here today believes in the one true God revealed to us in a book that is called Holy. And when you read that holy book called the Holy Bible, you soon realize that this holy, just, righteous, faithful, patient, and yes, compassionate God sees you right now, Gary, family, sees you right where you are today. And so please consider these truths with me this afternoon. Number one, God knew the exact moment Lynn would step into eternity. He knew. We didn't know, but he did know. Being omnipresent, all-powerful, omniscient, he is also the God who created Lynn in his image and in his likeness and created you and created I. And he knows all about you and your situation and each one of us, your sense of loss today. Nothing is hidden from his sight. He knows Lynn and he knows you. He sees you, and just as he knows and sees each of us in life, he knows and sees each one of us in death. Psalm 139 that I referred to earlier, David declared, you, talking about God, you search me, Lord, and you know me. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Hebrew writer wrote, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And David in Psalm 139 gladly confessed that his life was in the hands of his Creator, and that brought David comfort. He was comforted by that knowledge. David teaches us an important lesson that we should gladly trust in the one who loves us, the one who knows us best, the one who created us, and he is the Lord God Almighty. Secondly, God has pursued and sought Lynn every day of her life, just as he is pursuing you. This includes everyone. The believer who has trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, and the unbeliever who has not done that. Even in rejection, God calls our name. He calls out to us, to everyone, and he wants us to believe and trust in him. Paul told a group of philosophers, seem to be a lot of philosophers today, a lot of people that like to sit around and talk about the latest ideas. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, there's a group of people that like to do that. They didn't know God, but they were debating God and the latest ideas. And Paul told them, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. He marked out their appointed times. God did this so that they would seek him. And perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Every breath we breathe is a gift from our Creator to remind us and encourage us to seek him and reach out to him and find him. And last, Paul said, he's not far away. He's not far away. Thirdly, God knows the sorrow you're feeling today. It comforts me to know that each and every day, every morning, every evening, no matter what is going on in my life, no matter what you're feeling right now today, God knows the sorrow you're feeling. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me. It's called the Great Invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. And if you don't know what a yoke is, I was raised in the country. And you put two oxen side by side and you yoke them together so that they'll pull the same direction. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The great invitation that tells us the key to finding relief can only be found in one person. Jesus said he alone can give us rest and comfort from our burdens. He declared that his purpose for leaving heaven and coming to earth was to proclaim the good news of salvation to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery for sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. And he came to help anyone who calls on his name, and I do mean anyone. Last, God wants us to seek him. David said in Psalm 27, hear my voice when I call, Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says, if you seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. Teach me your way, Lord, and lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart and wait for the Lord. Lynn fought a brave battle for a long time. I don't know all the details, but just the few conversations I've had with Gary, I know this has been a battle for her, and he has been by her side trying to help her the best way he knew how through this. Many times we have questions like, why did this happen? 58 years old, 7 years younger than I am. Where is God? And I hear that a lot as a pastor. Where is God? Why did this happen? Well, I will simply say to that, God is where he has always been, calling out to each of us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We're able to call out to God because Jesus came. He made the way on Christmas Day. And people all around the world celebrate his birth. But why did Jesus come? Jesus came because we were lost in a sinful, fallen world and needed a Savior. Jesus came because without him we could have no hope beyond this brief life. Jesus came because the God of heaven who loved Lynn and who loves you, and praise God who loves me, he laid down his life as payment for our sins that offend a holy God. He came so that on days like today we could have hope. Jesus made a reservation in a stable so we would have the opportunity to make a reservation in heaven and have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus came to shed his sinless blood on the cross so we could by faith trust in his sacrifice for our sins and escape the second death. That's why Jesus came. He came near so we could come near to him and believe in him and love him and follow him. Jesus came to give us hope beyond this life. And it's a hope each one of us need. The hope, this hope, does not mean I wish. Rather, it means a confident expectation and a firm assurance concerning the promises of God to those who love and follow him. So I hope you'll remember Psalm 27. My heart says of you, seek his face. And then faith cries out, your face, Lord, I will seek. Where is God? He is near those who humbly seek his face. So I hope you remember the words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Gary, I hope it's okay if I share this. We were visiting yesterday afternoon on the phone, and he was telling me in her last days, and I hope I don't mess this up, but I think I've got the gist of it, that he sat by her side, and they talked about her confessing her sin. She said she had done that. Made a profession of faith in Christ. And, boy, that just brought joy to my heart. just to hear those words. I think for each one of us here today, we should know in our hearts that, you know what, maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe that's what I need to do. Because Paul said that being absent from the body for the believer is to be present with the Lord. And I'm so glad that you had that conversation. And I'm so glad today we can have hope when we come to a service such as this. And we can know that, you know what, God's got a plan. That plan includes me. It includes me. He's calling. He's calling. He called Lynn, and he's calling you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this family, God. I can't imagine the loss they must feel, but I also know, God, that in this world we have loss, but you said that you would be there to help us if we ask. I'm asking, Lord, for this family, and I'm asking for these friends today, that, Father, you would make your presence known to them and your voice heard, and that you give them a sense of peace, because you promised in your word you'd do so, and we're asking for that today. As we go to Floral Haven for the graveside, I pray that you'd go with us. Pray the words there would be an encouragement. I pray as we come back for the reception, I pray, Lord, you'd be there and be present. Lord, help this be a great uplifting time for the family, Lord, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. thank you so much for coming. Daniel is going to come, and they're going to lead the casket out, and the family's going to gather in behind. And if you'd be patient just a moment, they're going to come in then and dismiss you. Family's going to go immediately to their cars. We're going to go immediately to Floral Haven for anyone that would like to come along. We're going to give you 30 minutes. There's not an escort, okay? So don't run any red lights or anything like that. But we'll give you 30 minutes to get there to Floral Haven. We'll have a brief service there. And then they're going to come back to the gym for the reception. The family does want to see you. If you're not going to Floral Haven, feel free to go up to the gym after you're dismissed and make yourself at home up there. But thank you so much for coming today. And